Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians. Man, what an introduction. President has nothing on this ministry. Oh, goodness. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. While you're finding your place, as you know, we just had a very successful missions conference. And you did not commit to missions just to put it in the bank. We want to put it in circulation. And I'd like to recommend we take on the Gansimers, help them get on their way and get to the field a little quicker. And along with that, this year we started a new project in India and Global Church Planters called the India Project. And we're going to start 35 brand new churches in India right away. And I'd like to recommend that we add to the support to Global by $250 a month for the purpose of earmarking that specifically for the country of India. Would you like to do that? Yes, sir? And the India Project. All right, we have those two, that motion made, Brother Havens. Seconded, all in favor? Wonderful. Any oppose? Remember, our rule is if you oppose, we begin immediately to pray that God will call you to India as a missionary. That's fair, isn't it? If you don't want to sin, then you ought to go. Amen. All right, we'll get that immediately. Brother Gansmer, I need to make sure I have your card. I think I do. Yes, I have it, so we've got the information there. Thank you. Thank you. I want you to look with me to one verse tonight. This is Wednesday night. We've had a good song service, a good missionary presentation. And I want to point out one verse for our message. I worked all day on a sermon for tonight, and I'm not going to preach it. But I want to spend just about 15 minutes talking about this one verse here in chapter 2. Stand, we'll read it together. Verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Heavenly Father, help me tonight to take this simple and yet profound verse and present it in light of the context that you have presented it. Lord, we love you. We want to serve you. We count it a privilege to serve you, whether it's in a Sunday school class or on a bus route or a usher, a greeter at the door, a nursery keeper in the house of God, a custodian, a janitor, whatever it is. We're honored that we can bear your name in some way to serve you and honor you with our lives. Now, bless us tonight and help us to get a clear understanding of this precious and powerful verse. In Jesus' name, amen. The context of this passage, if you'll read chapter 1, the closing part of it, and up to this verse in chapter 2, is the servants of God. God calling people to serve Him. Now, I want to say there, I do not believe that God is referring only to the preacher or the apostle or the evangelist. I believe He's talking about anyone who serves Him in the will of God for their lives. You do understand that God has a will for your life. He has a plan. He has a place for you to serve Him in the local church. This is the church age. And our job is to be busy serving our Savior and bringing glory to Him with our lives. The reason God saved us, according to the book of Isaiah, was that we might glorify Him with our lives. He didn't save us just for us. He didn't save us just to keep us out of hell so we wouldn't have to suffer the pain. He saved us for the same reason He created us, for His glory, for His honor, and for His praise. Now, having said that, and having God having saved us, redeemed us by His own shed blood, then He has a purpose for us in this life, a will for us, a place for us to serve Him. And may I say to you, serving God always has to do with people. Jesus didn't die for things. He didn't die for buildings. He didn't die for programs. He died for people. Things are always more important to God than, or people are always more important to God than things. When Jesus comes back, it's the people that'll be raptured out. All the things will be left behind and ultimately will be burned up and come to naught, nothing. So I would say to you that if you want your life to really count and matter, and you want your life to bear fruit beyond this physical life, then you need to get involved in ministry, reaching and teaching and helping people in the local church, and not just get involved in things. Some people spend their life building buildings, and not one building's going to be raptured to heaven. They're all going to crumble and burn up ultimately. So we need to give our energy and our effort to serving God by loving and allowing God to love others through us, reaching others, teaching others, training others, and being a part in His program of people. Now, with that context, and my message tonight was from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, talking about God's calling. And I'll preach that at another time. But tonight I want us to look at this promise He has in context with those who serve Him. As it is written, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Now, the secondary interpretation of that, and the way it's most often used, is in reference to heaven. In fact, Sunday morning when I preached on glory, heaven, the title of my sermon was Glory. I used this verse. And I believe it's okay. I believe the secondary application and interpretation of that verse has to do with what God has waiting for us in glory. Thank God our eyes have never seen it, our ears have never heard, our thoughts have never comprehended what God has prepared for the saved in heaven. I won't deal a lot there, but that is the secondary interpretation of this verse. But may I say to you, the primary interpretation of that verse has to do not with heaven, not with life after this life, but it has to do with Christians serving God and God's blessings on their life right here, down here on planet Earth before Jesus comes again. That's what it has to do with. That's the primary interpretation. I have not seen. Listen, you don't think you can serve God and God not bless you. You think you can serve God and God ignore it? God is no man's debtor. And I promise you, anyone who is faithful in the will of God serving Him has more coming back to them from God than they ever give out for God. So much so. You know, the Bible says over here that not many wise and not many noble and not many mighty are called. But God's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and He's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised God hath chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Now, verse 31 says that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And then in verse number 2 of chapter 2, Paul saying, I'm determined to know nothing or anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He's talking about serving God and standing for God and ministering in the power of God. Then he has this promise to those that are faithful doing it. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the hearts of man the things that God hath prepared them for them that love Him. I remember 43 years ago kneeling at an altar, hearing the call of God on my life and telling God, Lord, I know You're calling me. I have a wife that I've never talked to about this. If You'll burden her heart so she'll serve You with me, I'll serve You. About that time she put her arm around my waist and said, honey, I know what You're doing. God's calling you to preach, and I want to surrender my life with You. And there we knelt and wept and gave our life to God. To be honest with you, I was scared to death. 2 weeks later, I quit my job. Had nothing except the call of God. He began to open a door for me. First, the Wednesday night after I surrendered on Sunday night, preacher asked me to preach my first sermon. Next Saturday, I got a call and from Brother Warnack, started a church over in Euless, and asked me to come and preach in his pulpit, brand new church, meeting in the old schoolhouse, wooden schoolhouse, in the auditorium on Main Street in Euless. That was my second time to ever preach. That Wednesday night, somebody else heard and called me and asked me if I'd come preach. Then a church over in Ennis called and asked if I'd come fill their pulpit. And on like that. And I thought, well, God's called me and He's using me, so I just was quit my job. I didn't know You wasn't supposed to do it that way. Nobody told me. I was scared to death. A couple of months, or in October, a little group of people over in Fort Worth wanted to start a church. They heard about God calling me and they asked me to consider coming be their pastor. October. Surrendered August 23rd. October. Little group of people meeting in a little frame building leaning to the west. Had to be propped up on its leaning side. 38 people. My office was an old closet. My first desk was a door laying across two sawhorses. My first office desk or chair was a metal folding chair. Ignorant. My favorite sermon was on Simon the Leper. I thought the old boy was happy. When I started Bible college, I found out it was Simon the Leper. He's sick. I preached from Psalms a lot and Job a lot. I never dreamed what God would do with my life. Oh my, what a journey. I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. We'd just bought our first house the year before. I gave the house away. Paid the lawyer to change the papers over to get out from under it so I could be free to preach. Left a job when I quit my job making $225 a week at Univac computer division of Sperry Rand and took that little old church. My first salary was $50 a week total, no benefits. That was it. I could tell you story after story after story that mine could not imagine that God has done for us. God did for us, and He continues to do for us. Some of you are sitting out there wondering, does it pay to serve God? Whether it be in the pulpit or in the pew, whether it's the pastor of a church or the captain of a bus or a driver of a bus or a teacher of the Sunday school class or a superintendent or a worker in the nursery or a greeter at the door, I want you to know if that's where God has put you and you're faithful and you're right and you're clean, you're in for a treat. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. It's not just Bob Smith that God has a will for. God's will for your life is just as important to Him as my will, my life is to Him. Don't discount who you are. Some of you think that because you're not a pastor or an evangelist, that you're not important. Took the same blood of Calvary, sinless blood of Jesus on Calvary to save you as it did me. The same grace of God had to be extended as was extended to me. It's not the name of the place God put you that matters. It's being faithful and clean and serving Him in a right spirit that matters. It's your job, it's your place, it's your ministry. When we give ourselves to that, this promise is ours. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the hearts of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Some of you need to get on board. That's a check from God that He's waiting for you to cash. It don't come. It's not yours by sitting. It's ours when we surrender and serve faithfully. It's not the promise of God to a quitter or a slackard. It's not the promise of God to those that are lazy or selfish or worldly or carnal. It's the promise of God to those that love Him and says, Lord, here am I. Use me. Not my will. Thine be done. Heavenly Father, thank You for the privilege of serving You. Lord God, I don't know what my